This is another Soil Sense Field Check, where we find the right expert to answer your questions about anything related to farming, agronomy, and soil health. We invite you to participate at www.ndfieldcheck.com. Today's question comes from Jason Hansen of Rock and Roll Agronomy.
This is Jason Hansen, consultant with Rock and Roll Agronomy. I'm getting the question about farmers wanting to plant a cover crop, but it's kind of a generic statement. So I think what they're really asking is, what do I plant and when do I plant? And it's kind of, where do I start? Where do we begin on this journey?
Okay, I'm really glad that Jason asked this question because it sums up several of the other questions that we've been getting here for Field Check that are essentially, how do I get started in cover crops? Now, here to talk about this is someone you already know, most likely, Dr. Abby Wick. Abby is a soil health extension specialist at North Dakota State University. She's also the creator and producer of Soil Sense and among many other programs for soil health in North Dakota. She says if you already have wheat in your rotation, that may be the easiest place to start.
When I think about getting started with cover crops, I think one of the easiest places is actually after wheat, by letting whatever volunteer wheat just regrow. It's a free cover crop essentially, and it doesn't require a lot of effort to just let that wheat grow and then manage that additional residue. So I think, you know, in talking with farmers, the simplest place to start is if you have wheat in rotation, just let the volunteer grow, and that's your first cover crop. If you have some additional goals that you want to address, whether it's compaction in a field, salinity, say you dig a hole in your field and the soil aggregates or the structure looks like it could use a little help, then adding in some different cover crops to that volunteer wheat might be a good solution. Now, not all farmers in North Dakota have wheat in rotation anymore. A lot of them still do, but some don't. And so then if you just have a corn and soybean rotation, then interseeding your corn is a really good place to start also to get the cover crop a head start. And if you use something like cereal rye in that mix, then the rye will overwinter and is something you could plant green into the next spring with soybean.
She mentioned interseeding rye into corn. And I know from previous episodes of Soil Sense here that some farmers are flying this seed on into the corn. But how else can this be done?
Interseeding into corn can be done pretty much anytime after five leaf on corn. So you could come in with a piece of customized equipment that say a farmer builds in a shop, which I'm seeing a lot more of that happen now, that farmers are taking existing equipment or piecing things together to make it so they can actually get good seed to soil contact when interseeding. So if they go in between 5 to 8 leaf, they may be side dressing nitrogen at the same time, and then rigging up something so they can actually seed some cover crops at the same time, then that's a great option. But if they don't have that equipment, then flying on a cover crop later would definitely be an option. And calling the plane and hiring them to come in and fly it on is a great way to do it too. And that would happen more when corn is tasseling and the canopy is about to kind of open up as the corn dries down.
Now, if we're thinking about interseeding rye into corn, does that mean before we plant the corn, we ought to rethink the row spacing?
Yeah, adjusting row spacing can be an option with corn. We don't know a lot about the wider spacing. So a lot of farmers are trying 44-inch or 60-inch corn right now, just so that they have space and light for those cover crops to get going and get established. We don't have research on that yet. We're working on it this year to try to take things that farmers are trying in their fields and gather information so we can make better recommendations. I haven't seen a major drawback to cover crop establishment in 30-inch row spacing. Maybe when they get into the 20s or 22-inch spacing, it can be a little challenging because light is such an issue.
So we've talked about cover crops after wheat and planting them into corn, but what about soybeans?
I think there's still an opportunity with cover crops and soybean. And actually, that's one of the areas that from our Cafe Talk program that farmers are really interested in establishing a cover crop in soybean. And I think a lot of that's because of the low residue after harvest. Those are fields that they see typically blow with wind erosion. And so they want to get some kind of cover out there. And I think, you know, we've had some success flying on cover crops into beans when they're 30-inch row spacing, let's say, as opposed to solid seeded. So there is an opportunity, I think, to get something established, but the canopy on beans closes, which we want for weed control. And it makes it so humid and dark underneath the canopy that it is tough to get cover crops established. But I suppose flying them on right before leaf drop in soybean would be an option. Then the leaves will cover up the seed a little bit and help it germinate. And I've seen some very successful stands where farmers have done that.
Now, I want to pause right here just to talk a little bit about the why behind cover crops. We obviously launched right into the question Jason and others asked about getting started, but I don't want to overlook the why. Certainly, cover crops help build overall soil health in terms of, you know, things like biological activity and infiltration. And a big reason many farmers get started in cover crops is to prevent erosion, to keep the soil covered so it doesn't blow away between cash crops. Another benefit, though, is trafficability in the spring. And I asked Abby how soon a farmer might see that benefit after trying cover crops for the first time.
Typically, when we're looking at trafficability and structure, we're looking at drastic improvements in a high clay soil. So one of the soil types that aggregates form really well in is a high clay soil. And so if you make these changes by backing off on a tillage pass and incorporating a cover crop, I think you can see that structure build pretty quickly in a high clay soil. So anywhere in the Red River Valley where they do these practices, I think they're going to see changes pretty quickly. Where we struggle to see a lot of those changes, especially in trafficability or building structure, is in some of the sandier soils, because those soils, they really rely on the strength of fungal hyphae and the strength of the roots holding those aggregates together versus like that attraction of the clays that really bind those aggregates. So sandier soils, especially if they have a high water table, I think it's a little more challenging to see those differences in trafficability on those soils. But those soils may also have different challenges than a high clay soil, where trafficability really is king in a high clay soil to getting across it.
Another goal for cover crops, especially in a place like North Dakota, is to manage salinity issues.
Using a cover crop on salt-affected areas can be a good approach, especially if that area is kind of marginal. You know, it's not white where it's totally growing, where it's growing nothing, but it's a part of the field where maybe soybean yield suffers, corn may suffer a little bit, small grains look kind of patchy, but you could maybe get a full season cover crop established there, use that moisture, manage the moisture, and it doesn't have to be the whole field. It could be these patches that you do where you broadcast radish and just let it buck, you know, and see what happens.
For those getting started with these cover crops for the first time, should they start with only one species or should they consider a cover crop cocktail for multiple benefits?
I think sometimes most farmers I work with, they start with one, and cereal rye is one of the best ones that we recommend in our region. You have to be careful of cereal rye, though. If you grow wheat for seed production, you want to make sure that you're not putting rye out there the year before you put wheat on that field. So then another cover crop may be a better fit for those wheat farmers that grow it for seed. But I think radish is also a safe bet. People know about radish, are comfortable with it. They read about radish all the time. So that can be a good fit. But then again, there's another caveat. If you have canola in rotation, you definitely don't want to be putting radish out there because of club root disease transfer issues. So there's some fine tuning that still needs to happen. It's not a one size fits all, but that's also why we recommend that farmers try this on 20 acres or even choosing just one field to try it on before they take it whole farm, because we want to make sure that what they're doing, that they can get a couple sets of eyes on it, whether it's them looking at it, they take their spouse out there, their kid, or they bring somebody from the NRCS or NDSU or the Soil Conservation District to get somebody else to look at it. Even their crop consultant is a great, you know, that it's a great set of eyes to have on your system.
Whether your goal is long-term soil health, reducing erosion or compaction, improving trafficability, managing salts, or any of the other cover crop benefits, Abby says it ultimately boils down to three critical things.
When it comes to cover crops, knowing obviously that the crop you have in the field is important, so you know the window of growth that you have for that cover crop, knowing your next crop in rotation so that you make sure you don't put something in there that's going to host disease or cause issues with harvest of that next crop or reduce yield. And then also knowing what your goal is. I think those are really the three critical things. And from there, just go with your gut and choose something that you're comfortable growing. Cover crops don't have to be fancy mixes and they don't have to be really complex to work. And I think that's what I want farmers to walk away with. I don't want them to feel nervous about a practice because it seems too complicated. We can simplify it and make it work for them. And then they can add diversity if they want, or they cannot add diversity. It doesn't matter. Whatever system, you know, the goal is to have cover crops work in their system.
Thanks so much to Dr. Abby Wick for taking time to provide this essential information about getting started in cover crops. Thanks as well to Jason and others who asked similar questions about getting started with cover crops. Hopefully each of you got them answered throughout the course of today's episode. I want to answer your question next, so head over to www.ndfieldcheck.com. There's a button right there on the page. You can simply click on your phone, tablet, or computer. record a question. I'll find the right person to answer it and play it here on the show.
Thanks so much to our sponsors who are making Field Check possible: the North Dakota Corn Council, the North Dakota Wheat Commission, the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Harvest Dry Bean Association, and the North Dakota Barley Council. So head over to ndfieldcheck.com and leave us a voice message with your question today.